We are in our ninth week in our study of this historical book na tinatawag na Genesis, the story of beginnings. Sa panimula ng ating series sa Genesis chapter 1, nakita natin ang glorious work ng Diyos for 6 days. He created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day, He rested, which means everything was completed. Hindi na siya lumikha ng kahit anumang mga bagay. Tapos pagdating naman po sa chapter 2, nasaksihan po natin yung perfect relationship ng Diyos at ng tao. At na-enjoy po nila itong perfect fellowship na ito sa Garden of Eden. Itong perfect fellowship na ito was short-lived. Kasi pagdating sa chapter 3, binuwag po ng kasalanan ang napaka-perfectong fellowship po na ito. Which is nakakalungkot po. At ang epekto ng kasalanan na ito ay hindi naging mabuti para sa tao at sa buong mundo. Di nagtagal, mas lumala ang korupsyon ng tao sa chapter 4. Dahil apektado ng kasalanan ang pamilya ni Adan. Kinatawan ito ni Cain, which is yung kanyang panganay na anak, at yung mismong lahi ni Cain na ang pangalan ay si Lamech. Sila po ay embodiment ng corruption at kasalanan ng tao. At sa huling bahagi ng chapter 5, actually yung chapter 5, makita po natin ito yung line ni Seth. Sa last part ng chapter 5, dito pinakilala sa atin ang panibagong karakter, which is ang pangalan ay Noah, which is yung po ang focus ng coming 4 chapters ng Book of Genesis. Naka-focus kay Noah at naka-focus po kung anong ginagawa ng Panginoon sa panahon ni Noah. Sa patuloy na pagdami ng fallen human race nung panahon na ito, ganun din na ang pagkalat ng kasalanan sa buong mundo. Nakita natin na grabe yung patience ng Panginoon, ano? Lalo na nung chapter 3, nung chapter 4, yung patience niya kay Adam, kay Eve, yung patience niya kay Cain kahit na nagrebelde. Kita-kita po yung beauty at yung patience ng Panginoon. But now in the succeeding chapters, God's patience will come to an end. The human heart became so wicked that God wants to judge them. Hindi lang desire ng Panginoon to judge, it was His plan to judge the world. Ang prayer ko po ngayong gabi as we dive in sa passage na ito is that we would see, in spite man's wickedness and God's judgment, that there is still a glimmer of hope sa mga makakasalanan, because God still extends His grace sa mga taong nagkakasala. God still extends His grace sa mga taong nagkamali. Man's wickedness is great, but God's grace is greater. Man's wickedness is great, but God's grace is greater. Divided itong passage na ito into 3 headings. Number 1, man's fallenness, chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. Number 2, God's favor, verses 8 hanggang 10. And number 3, Noah's faith, verses 11 hanggang 22. Let's jump right in sa ating first point. Man's fallenness, or man's wickedness, man's depravity. Look at verse 1. When man began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them. Ito po muna tayo dyan. Unang beses na na-encounter po natin yung salitang multiply ay nasa Genesis chapter 1 pa po tayo. Verse 28, where God commanded Adam and Eve to go and multiply and fill the earth for the purpose of displaying God's glory to the watching world or to the created world. Dito ho sa passage na ito, nag-multiply nga po ang tao. Na-fulfill yung command na ito, or patuloy na fino-fulfill. Pero hindi karakter ng Diyos po ang nakikita. Hindi po karakter ng Diyos ang nade-display, kung hindi ang kasamaan ng tao ang nade-display. Pasama ng pasama ang tao, gaya ng nakita po natin last week sa chapter 4 at sa chapter 5. Tingnan po natin yung verses 2 hanggang 4. The sons of God saw the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives, any they choose. Verse 3, then the Lord said, my spirit has not abide in man forever, for he is flesh, his days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in the days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. Alam ko, medyo controversial po itong passage po na ito, at least sa bahaging ito. No? Wala na yung sons of God at saka yung daughters of men. Malamang siguro napag-usapan, napag-debatehan, o maring pinagmuli-bulayan ninyo nung Bible study nyo itong mga nakaraan na week. Some of you probably nagkaroon ng clarity, or maybe some of you had even more confusion kung ano ba ang ibig sabihin na ito. So let's attempt to see this as through the lenses of Scripture and its context. Unang-una, may tatlong views po ito. Yung dalawa sa views po na ito ay pinahahawakan po ng evangelical circles natin ngayon. So una is yung tinatawag na yung sons of God daw po dito ay mga fallen angels o yung mga nagrebelde po na anghel. Nagkaroon daw ng intermarriage between yung fallen angels at yung mga human women na kung saan nagbunga ito ng mga lahi na tinatawag na Nephilims. Sila yung nilalarawan na matitipuno, na malulupit, mga taong mga magaling na mandirigma, ika nga, na kung saan gumagawa ng pangalan sa kanilang sarili. Ito mga masasamang hari ito, masasamang rulers na ito, masasamang mga mandirigma ito. There's an issue when it comes to ito nga ba, ito ay literal na giant or ito ay mga malalaking tao in terms of name, we do not know. Ang may hawak ng posisyon na ito, usually would use Old at saka New Testament references. Ginamit nila yung Old Testament na Job chapter 1 at saka chapter 2 na kung saan yung sons of God there refers to yung mga angels na nagre-report sa throne ng Panginoon at gumagamit din sila ng reference ng New Testament ang dalawang passages, which is yung 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4 to 5 at saka Jude chapter 6, 7. It seems like na ginagamit po na ito to support yung kanilang view na yung sons of God ay mga angels na nag-intermarry. Now, ang problema po sa view na ito is marami pong problema itong view na ito. Unang-una, walang reference to angels ang Genesis chapter 1 hanggang Genesis chapter 6. So wala pong nabanggit na angels po rin na bakit all of a sudden si Moses, yung manunulat po ng Book of Genesis, biglang magbabanggit siya ng angels dito. Pangalawa, ang salitang they took wives sa verse 2 means they gave into marriage or kasal. Whereas sa New Testament, si Jesus sa Gospel, sa Matthew, Mark at saka Luke indicates na hindi kinakasal ang mga anghel because they are not giving into marriage pagdating sa kaharian ng Diyos. Because they don't have physical bodies, they are spirits. They are sexless, which means they cannot procreate. So malabo po yung sinasabi na ito po yung mga fallen angels. Also, yung flood po is a judgment para sa tao, hindi po para sa anghel. Which is yung din ang pinahahawakan po ng view na yon. So, na-debunk na natin from scripture yung kanilang view. Now, meron pang alawang view po na mukhang bago po ito yung view na ito. May tinatawag na sons of God daw refers to Canaanite kings. Canaanite kings. This refers to evil kings or rulers. Ang salitang Elohim, which is yung ginamit po raw, minsan sa Bible, ginagamit God. Ang pagkakagamit na minsan ay translate ay God, angels, or human beings, or human judges, or kings. Na kung saan ina-argue niya na maaring nagamit ito sa human kings or rulers. And another argument na sinabi niya rito na ang hari daw nung time na yun sa Near Eastern literature refers to kings as gods or deities. So, wala akong basehan ito. Karamihan ng mga popular at saka respected scholars would say wala akong basehan sa Bible ang paniniwala na ito. Third view, which is we believe to be the correct view, is the sons of God refers to men from godly line of Seth. So, galing ito sa lahi ni Seth. And I would hold sa view po na ito. As mentioned from our previous study sa Genesis chapter 6, ang seed ng woman ay yung tinatawag na godly seed. At napag-aralan po natin na si Seth ay seed ng woman, which is he is from the godly seed. or offspring. Samantala naman, ang si Cain, masasabi po natin na siya ay offspring or seed ng serpent. At kung ikaw ay seed ng serpent, ikaw po ay seed ng unrighteousness. And we can tell na he was a liar and a murderer. So he came from the rebellious line ng serpent. Nagkaroon ng intermarriage sa lahi ni Seth, ang God line or ang sons of God sa lahi ni Cain, the line that rejected God or yung tinatawag na line ng unrighteousness. So sila po ay nag-intermarry. This is to believe what we believe na according sa mga scholars ay yung more accurate and more biblically supported na view. Now, kung ano man ang scenario na nangyayari rito sa Genesis chapter 6, isa lang po ang hina-highlight na ito. Hina-highlight po rito yung larawan ng matinding korupsyon ng tao, pasama ng pasama ng pasama ang tao. Man's fallenness was highlighted nung sinabi ng Panginoon sa verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intentions of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Sabi sa ibang translation, is evil all the time. Maya't maya. Patindi ng patindi ang kasamaan ng tao both inwardly sa kanilang mga puso at externally sa kanilang mga aksyon. So Matthew chapter 15 verse 19 na kung saan binasa sa atin ni Pastor Jack kanina, na si Jesus describes kung ano ang nilalaman ng puso ng tao. If you're wondering na kung ano ba ang laman ng tunay na puso ng tao, and we need to be careful, yung mga payo na narinig natin na follow your heart, kasi ito po ang laman ng heart sa harapan ng Panginoon, yung heart ng tao. Matthew 15, 18 to 19, but what comes out from the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. Yan daw po ang laman ng puso ng tao. Yan po ang laman. Tingnan po natin ang response ng Diyos sa lumalagong kasalanan nung panahon ni Noah. Look at verses 6 hanggang 7. Sabi sa verse 6, the Lord regretted that he made man. Verse 7, sa first part, sinabi niya, I will blot out man whom I created from the face of the earth. Second part of verse 7, sinabi niya, I am sorry that I have made them. Very controversial din ang verses na ito. Kung babasahin lang po natin ito plainly at walang pag-iingat, this section right here assumes na nagbabago ang isip ng Diyos. Nagbabago ang isip ng Diyos dahil sa umaral siya ay nasupresa sa hindi inaasahang sirkumstansya. Ha, nagkasala ang tao. And from there, bumagsak ang kanyang kalooban. I'm sorry na ginawa ko ang tao. Nagsisisi na ako. Kung yun ang tone, kung yun ang ating paniniwala, then there's a lot of questions na lalabas sa ating isipan patungkol sa karakter ng Diyos. At malinaw na hindi ito ang karakter ng Diyos kasi iba ang sinasabi ng mga through the pages of scripture. Kasi God is immutable. When you say immutable, God is unchangeable. Hindi siya nagbabago, and this should give us great comfort, friends, because the God who said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, does not change His mind. That is a great encouragement sa ating ngayong gabi. At siya rin yung omniscient, which means God is all-knowing, hindi na ho siya nasusupresa sa anumang mangyayari sa mga tao. And He's also sovereign. Sovereign, which means He is control of everything. Dahil siyang nag-orchestrate ng pangyayaring ito. So hindi pwedeng sabihin na yung paliwanag natin dito na yung repentance or yung sorrow or yung grief na nababanggit dito ay pareho natin mag-grieve, pareho natin mag-repent, pareho natin mag-express ng sorrow. Also, tinuturo ni Moses ang sumulat po ng Genesis na yung repentance daw ng Diyos ay iba sa repentance ng tao. Tingnan po natin yung Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. God is not man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and he will not fulfill it? Ang mga nabanggit po sa verses 6 to 7 are these, but mere expressions on how God relates and responds to sin. Okay? Sin grieves the heart of God. Sin breaks God's heart. Sin hurts God, God's heart. Ito yung tinatawag yung nag-grieve dito is bitter anguish ang tawag po ron. Bitter anguish. So what does, anong itsura ng isang tao na may bitter anguish? To give us a practical picture here or illustration, parang isang wife na namatayan ng husband. Yun po yung expression ng bitter grief. It emphasizes that God hates sin and is affected by it. This is yung emotional, but that he is a God who has emotions. He is not a cold, passive, cosmic being. He is a person. Hindi po nagkamali si Moses na pagkakalagay nun sa Genesis. It was intentional. It has a purpose. It was mentioned on a purpose to give its original readers and us an idea how God feels about sin. Ito po ang tinatawag na divine sorrow. A divine sorrow. Mga kaibigan, may pagkakaiba ba ang kondisyon ng mga tao nung panahon ni Noah sa kondisyon ng tao ngayon? Shouldn't we feel bitter anguish sa mga nangyayaring kasamaan sa mundo? Shouldn't we grieve and be angry about it? Human trafficking, rape, child abuse, pedophilia, corruption sa institusyon, injustices sa loob ng opisina, favoritism sa pamilya, diskriminasyon, talamak na nakawan. Di ba dapat nagagalit po tayo rito? Di ba dapat nagkakaroon tayo ng sorrow over this? Meron ba tayong kalungkutan at galit na nararamdaman dito? Kung mayroon po, hindi po tayo dapat nakikisama o sumusuporta sa mga gawaing ito. You better check kung ano ang pinupuntahan nyo madalas online kung ito ay sinusuportahan ang mga paniniwala o practices na ito. Friends, do we grieve the way God grieves over our own sins? Does it distress us the way it distresses God? Do we hate our sin the way God hates sin? Ang habit natin ng pagsisinungaling para makuha lang ang ating gusto o para hindi lang mapahiya, na-justify natin. Okay lang, minsan naman white lie, black lie, pink lie, kung ano mang kulay niyan, lie is lie. And it grieves the heart of God. Ang chismisan na parang normal sa opisina o sa pamilya, does this grieve you? Inggitan, mga addiction na sinusustentohan, bitterness, rebellious attitude, walang kinikilalang batas kahit sa batas sa loob ng kanilang pamilya. Pornografiya, laziness, self-righteous, hindi ako nagkakamali. Fault finder. Nagsimula yung kay Adam, di ba? Fault finder. Yung kultura ng blaming started kay Adam. Gluttony. Hindi mapagpatawad na puso. We compare ourselves sa ibang tao para sa paniniwala na mas masama sila kaysa sa atin. Mga kaibigan, ganito tayo kasama. Minsan we say yung term na maitim ang budhi ng tao na yan, which is an idiom that means that person has no conscience. Friends, lahat tayo maitim ang budhi sa harapan ng Diyos. Balikan mo na lang, ito ha, example, balikan mo na lang ang naglalaro sa isipan mo kanina bago ka papunta rito. Kung isasaksak ko yan sa projector natin, ipapalabas mo ba yan? Probably hindi. Ganun po tayo kasama. Do we mourn over the evil intentions of our hearts and actions that it produces? Or do we find it amusing? Do we find them justifying? Or sadly, satisfying? Do we see that our sin is normal to the point na hindi ka na naaapektuhan sa ginagawa mong mali at galit na galit ka kapag inaddress ng taong malapit sa atin ang kasalanan yon? Tama lang na i-judge ng Panginoon ang tao. He is holy. Friends, God grieves over sin and His anger is aroused by it. Ayon sa verse 7, willing siyang burahin ang sangkatauhan sa lupalop ng mundo. That was His gift. Ganun siya kagalit sa kasalanan at sa makakasalanan. Tama lang na i-judge. In this passage, hindi lamang natin nakikita ang tindi ng kasamaan ng tao at ang kaparusahan na ipapataw ng Diyos sa taong makasalanan. Kung hindi, let me stop right there. Maybe some, Pastor, this is a really dark passage. What are you teaching? Yes, it is pretty dark. But like I said earlier, there is a glimmer of hope, which we will see sa second point. God's favor. God's favor, verses 8 to 10. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God, and Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Ano ibig sabihin ng favor? Alam ko karamihan may mga kaibigan tayo na Kristiyano, mahilig gamitin ang salitang favor sa kanilang mga panalangin. Madalas sinasama sa prayer ang favor. No? Sadly, ang tunay minsan ang tunay na motibo kaya nasasama yung salitang favor sa panalangin in hopes na maging favorable ang answer na ibibigay nila sa Diyos sa kanilang kung ano man ang panalangin na yon na minsan ay mali ang motibo o may masamang hangarin. Hindi po yun. You don't ask for such favor. Ang ibig sabihin, ano ba ibig sabihin natin pag sinabing favor? Kasi nandito yan, glaring po yan sa verse 8. Dahil kaya may nakita ang Diyos na a pinch of righteousness kay Noah at sa kanyang pamilya, that's why God find favor sa harapan niya, sa pamilyang ito. Huwag na tayo lumayo sa sagot. Let's just look at yung context sa chapter 6. Ano sinabi sa verse 5? Every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil sometimes. Ano sabi? Is only evil occasionally. Is only evil continually all the time. Romans 3:23, New Testament. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What did it say? Some have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Ang sinabi? All. Romans 8:7-8. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. For it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Lahat ng tao sa panahon ni Noah ay masasama kasama si Noah at ang kanyang pamilya. You have to understand yung context. Lahat. Okay? Hindi yun dahil may nakitang kabutihan kay Noah kaya siya pinili. Ito, maganda makisama sa akin to, sumusunod sa akin to. I find favor. Hindi ito tupareho ng tao na kunsan sa kumpanyo, may nakita kayong masipag magtrabaho. Sige, yung iba nagtitismisan, tamad, ikaw may favor sa kasi masipag ka. Hindi po ito yung sitwasyon na ito, hindi. Kasi ganun din kasama si Noah at ang kanyang pamilya. So paro nakuha ni Noah ang favor ng Diyos.
Siguro naman may nagawa siya para nakuha niya ang favor ng Diyos. But ang sagot po dyan, wala. He did not earn such favor, so you don't ask such favor. Ang salitang favor, friends, is the same Hebrew ng word grace. It means grace. This is the first time lumitaw ang salitang grace sa Bible. First time. Grace means unmerited divine favor. No one can earn God's grace. Grace is God divinely giving, divinely gifting, divinely gracing someone something that they do not deserve. Noah and his family do deserve death by drowning. Kasama yung mga tao sa buong mundo. That's what they deserve. With all the wickedness of mankind sa mundo, He granted grace kay Noah. Isn't that amazing? Noah and his family deserve nothing, but because God gave favor, now he has life. To make this simple, since lahat ay nagkasala at karumal-dumal sa harapan ng Diyos, ang sangkatauhan ay haharap sa kaparusahan ng Diyos, which is a worldwide killer flood. But God, in His mercy, okay, granted electing grace kay Noah at sa kanyang pamilya. He chose them not because there is something special about them. This is the mystery of God's electing grace. God chose Noah. God loves Noah because God loves Noah. Without anything na may ginawa siya, there's nothing lovable kay Noah. Bago pa siya naging matuwid, kalugod-lugod sa harapan ng Diyos, kagaya ng mga in-explain sa verses, bago siya nagpamalas ng matinding pananampalataya, he first received God's grace. And this is true sa atin, mga kaibigan. There is nothing lovely about us sa harapan ng Diyos because we are tainted, corrupted by sin. It is only by God's grace that one has a relationship to God, which means there's nothing we can do. We are dependent sa grace ng Panginoon for our salvation. We are dependent sa Panginoon on how we live out the Christian life. That's grace. Noah heard about the sovereign creator of the world, the fall of his first parents, and the promised offspring. He knows that. He heard it like the rest of humanity. Noong time niya. The only difference is he believed. He believed. Remember, galing siya sa lahi ni Enoch sa Genesis chapter 4, verse 26. Diba? People began to call upon the name of the Lord sa line ni Seth. Ito ang line ni Noah, line ni Seth. God saved Noah and his family from his judgment. By grace, he believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. Parang yung ginawa ni Abraham sa Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. Kung babalik po tayo sa verse 3, balik tayo sa verse 3. His days shall be 120 years. Ano po ibig sabihin nito? Ang ibig sabihin po nito, sa grace ng Panginoon, hindi niya agad ginudge ang tao. Na alam ko, na nababasa natin, nagigil na siya na parusahan. God gave 120 years. Ang ibig sabihin po nito, sa grace ng Panginoon, hindi niya ginudge ang sangkatauhan. Pwede niyang gawin yon in an instant. Why? Because sinabi sa Genesis 2:17, anong sinabi sa Genesis 2:17? For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. It is only by God's grace Adam did not drop dead. It is only by God's grace that Cain was marked. It is only by God's grace
kay Noah na siyang pinili. It's also by God's grace na meron pang 120 years magsisi ang mga tao sa paligid niya. Ngunit dahil sa grace ng Diyos, hindi niya ginawa na pinatay niya kagad ang sandibutan, ang sangkatauhan. God said 120 days for them to live for two purposes. One, for two reasons. One, dahil sa kanyang kabanalan, hindi niya pwedeng patagalin na napabayaan ang tao patuloy sa kasalanan. Second, binigyan niya ng 12 dekada para magsisi ang sangkatauhan sa kanilang kasalanan. Do you see God's patience dito? God is so patient. God is patient and He granted grace sa humanity. Binigyan niya ng oras mag-repent kasi ang appointed time, pagdating na ng appointed time, there is no stopping God's patience. Friends, God is patient to you. He is very, very patient to you and to me. He has given you time to repent, to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Kasi kapag dumating na ang appointed time, there is no stopping God's judgment sa atin. Friends, walang pinagkaiba ang tao ng panahon na yon, you know what? Panahon natin ngayon. All have sinned and rebelled sa harapan ng banal na Diyos. Ito ang dahilan kung bakit nakakaisip tayo ng mga immoral na bagay. Kung bakit naiisip natin na may times na parang, bakit parang gusto ko sana patay na itong tao na ito? That's how wicked we are. Okay? Yun sa isip pa lang yun. Wala pa yung namumutawi sa ating labi. Wala pa yung mga aksyon. That's how sinful we are. At sa isip pa lang yun. Every inclination of our hearts are evil all the time. If not for the common grace of God, there is anarchy. We know it. We know we're evil. We feel it. Quite honestly, we enjoy sin. Kaya hindi natin mabitawan ang mga luho. Kaya hindi po natin mabitawan ang mga maling relasyon o mga ginagawa sa loob ng isang relasyon. Ang hirap bitawan ng pagsisinungaling, magnakaw. Ang hirap po. We enjoy sin kasi we are enslaved by it. And we are tired sa ganitong buhay, hindi ba? At ano po ang ginawa natin? Ginagawa natin, we try to be righteous, we try to be religious, pero lahat ng yon ay hindi sapat. Dahil sa ating kasalanan, God's anger has been aroused. At lahat na nagre-rebelde sa kanya, reject and nire-reject siya, will face a greater judgment than Noah's judgment, than the flood judgment, kundi yung eternal judgment ng Panginoon. Friends, wala po tayong kayang gawin na tama sa harapan ng Panginoon. Kailangan natin ang grace niya. God sends His Son, His beloved Son, whom He is well pleased. This is Jesus. Jesus, unlike Noah, He is truly the righteous one. He is truly the blameless man because hindi siya nagkasala. He obeyed God perfectly that none of us could. And He died on that cross on our place that we deserve death. He did not remain dead. On the third day, He is risen from the grave. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And He is victorious over sin, death, and Satan. This is the promise of the gospel. Friends, Noah heard what God said. Believe it. He believed it. It was true. And he responded to it. And he was saved from a worldwide flood. Friends, the gospel of Christ is much better news because it leads people to the Savior who was killed in our place so that we will be saved from an eternal death. The Bible calls us to repent from our sins and put our faith in Christ's finished work on the cross. Number three and last, let's talk about Noah's faith. Because of the wicked condition of humanity mentioned in verses 11 to 13, God now reveals to Noah ang kanyang plan to destroy the world, humanity, and plan to save them. Okay, binigyan ng Diyos si Noah ng isang imposibleng project. Itong project po na ito truly demands faith. Bakit po? Kasi it demands faith, it demands perseverance, it demands para ma-accomplish itong task na ito. Remember, nung tinawag ng Panginoon si Noah, hindi po siya yung nasa prime niya. He was 500 years old. He was called to serve. He's an old man. Okay?
Dito pala, pwede na siya umalmay. Pwede na siya mag-reklamo. Panginoon, medyo mararamdaman na ang rayuma, yung gout.
But no, he trusted God's word. Ang project na ito ay tatagal ng 120 years.
Dito lang sa Dubai, makakuha ka ng project na 7 years, jackpot na ito, 120 years.
Hindi po ba? Tapos sa verses 15 to 16, pinapagawa pa siya ng barko. Isang malaking barko na 150 meters ang haba at tatlong level. Ilan po sila? Ilan po silang gagawa? Tatlo!
Could you imagine for the next 120 years cutting trees, planting those trees again, dragging the trees papunta ho sa project site to think about yung site, sa ilang na lugar pa ho yun? Sa open area o some say nasa desierto, walang tubig, doon pala magdududa ka na, talaga bang may tubig na lalabas dito?
But it takes faith. Tapos sa verse 17, magpapadala daw ng Diyos ng floodwaters. Saan magagaling ang floodwaters? As a matter of fact, what is a floodwater?
Di nila alam anong ibig sabihin ng floodwater. Naging klaro naman ng Panginoon sa chapter 7 nung sinabi niya pababag sa kanyang ulan.
Again, that's another question. What is rain? Hindi niya kasi nung panahon na to, hindi pa naulan. Nung hindi naulan, ibig sabihin walang baha, hindi po ba? So they don't know. Alam lang nila na God will destroy humanity through rain. Okay, this is an ark. Let's do this. I trust the Lord.
Kung isipin mo, 120 years din silang kinutsa ng komunidad nila.
Ridiculed, mocked, made fun of.
Most probably, sila na yung tinatawag na pamilya baliw. Mga pamilyang baliw yan. Huwag kayong magdididikit dyan. Ngunit ginawa lahat ni Noah ito. He obeyed and he had done it in faith.
Para manasabi niya in faith na ginawa ito, Pastor? Hebrews chapter 11, New Testament. Nakasama siya sa Hall of Faith. Sa Hebrews 11,
by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, is in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household.
Ang nakakamangha po dito yung verses 19 to 20. Nagpapasok ng iba't ibang hayop sa loob ng barko, kasama yung mga mababangis na hayop.
But he obeyed. Noah devoted his life in obeying God.
Para kay Noah, obedience to God ay mas mahalaga kesa sa ma-attain niyang pangarap. Mas mahalaga kesa sa makakamtan niyang mga minimithi. Mas mahalaga ho kesa sa mga bagay na kanyang ninanais.
That's how he values God's word.
Verse 22, Noah did this. He did all the command that God commanded him.
This reminds me of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul describes this type of devotion to God in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21.
For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Ang transforming grace ng Diyos sa atin always leads us to surrender our lives and to live our lives for the glory of God.
Romans 14, 7-8. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. If we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's.
Hindi mo pagmamayari ang buhay mo. Which means, ang Diyos ang may hawak ng buhay mo. Ang ibig sabihin niya, kailangan ipamuhay ito ayon sa kagustuhan ng Diyos.
So how do we live lives for the glory of God? Three quick application point. Number one. Pour into brothers and sisters in Christ. Pour into brothers and sisters in Christ. Our church is not programmatic. Hindi po tayo masyadong maprograma. Or wala masyadong ministry program. Okay? Kasi we tend to focus more on people ministry rather than program ministry. I encourage you, find ways to serve or encourage brothers and sisters dito sa church. We come to serve and not to be served. Pouring into brothers and sisters in Christ. Who are you pouring into right now? Praise God, your wife. Praise God, your children. How about mga kapatiran dito, who you have covenanted with?
Number two, be part of a church family. Be part of a church family. If you have been regularly attending Crossroads or listening online but not
being, di kayo part ng church. I mean, these are all good. These are all supplementary, lalo na ko online. But for us to grow spiritually, for us to grow in community in the gospel, you have to be part of a local church. A church who will love you. A church who will be accountable sa iyo, where you can serve others and the brothers and sisters can serve you. If you're a part of church, I encourage you to make time to gather and worship with other believers. Huwag ho tayo magmadali pumasok at magmadali umalis or parang check the box ang church. Let me quote ang pastor ng Redeemer Church of Dubai na si Dave Furman. And I quote, "Don't treat your church like a petrol station or gas station. When your tank is empty, fill up and then move on and then go back to your own." Hindi po ito puntahan ako sa discourage ako, para ka lang pupunta rito, magpapalakas ako. Sige, balik na ako, kanya-kanyang buhay na. Pag napanghinaan, ulit ako. Pag nagkaroon ako ng problema, kapag ako ay na-discourage, babalik ulit ako sa church, hoping na may sasabihin si pastor na ako sa makakahimok ng aking damdamin. Tapos pag hindi niya narinig yung gusto niya marinig, hindi na ako babalik sa church. Hindi po yun ang church. Yes, you have to be fed with God's Word. That's what we're trying to do. But you need to depend on the Spirit of God to work through God's Word. You need God's people for you to grow. Love the church na kung saan nilagay kayo ng pang. Number three and last, reach out to the lost. Reach out to the lost. Alam niyo ba na si Noah did not just devote his time in construction? Hindi po. The way I think of it, part-time lang ang pagiging construction niya, ayun, sa construction niya. For the past 120 years, he was a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching the news of God's judgment and salvation. He was preaching a message of salvation, the coming flood. He was preaching, repent, people, repent. For 120 years, there's still time. Wala pa yung judgment ng Panginoon. Teka, pastor, saan yung nakuha yan? Well, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. If he did not spare the ancient world but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness, with seven others, di lang pala si Noah, buong pamilya nag-herald, when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Friends, probably you have loved ones na matagal mo nang inaabot. Tagal mo na sinasiran and you are discouraged. You have to understand it is God who grants grace, hindi kayo. But you have probably 120 more years to share God's love through the gospel of Jesus Christ and to show God's love. Hey friends, if you're here, this is the reason why, if you're visiting, this is the reason why yung urgency na nagdala sa'yo rito is pumunta ka rito, is for you to know how God loves you, that He gave His Son for you. Pasalamatan niyo yun. Mahal ka ng tao na yun. Don't give up. Don't stop. Because there will come a time that the doors of the ark will close and judgment will come. Similarly, there will come a time that God will close our eyes. That God will close your eyes. And will be opened to God who will judge. The question is, will you be judged towards eternal life? Or will you be judged towards eternal damnation? Be encouraged, friends. Man's wickedness is great. We know that. But God's grace is greater. Father, thank you that indeed your mercy is more. Your grace is greater because Jesus is better. I pray for friends who are here. Would you call them to yourself in a saving way? Would the gospel of Jesus Christ that was preached tonight would provide grace for them to believe? Yun ang prayer po namin. For those who are listening online, Lord, we don't know how far mo dadalhin itong message. I pray that today, the time that they're listening, the time who they are here, would be a day or evening, an evening of salvation. A day of salvation.
We pray, Lord, that you would continue to grace us in how we should be living our lives kung saan kaaya-aya sa inyong harapan as your children. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.